Okay, this is June 8th, and the topic this month is the power of forgiveness.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I do hope that is sinking into your consciousness, into your mind, into your habitual thinking, so that you, when you wake up in the morning, you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm a god and I can create the life that I want. I can change anything in my life that I don't like. And I can do that with this wonderful thing that I have called a mind, called a consciousness, called a brain. Call it whatever you want. But it is there. Here, this little thing is so important to us. It is a manufacturing plant, and it will manufacture anything you tell it to. So tell it to manufacture what you want in life. And stop looking at the things you don't want in life. Stop giving them any power whatsoever. Only ever look and think about the things that you want, not the things that you don't want. When you put your attention on anything, it grows, it multiplies, and you don't want to do that to yourself. When you withdraw your consciousness from anything that is bothering you, you are now no longer giving it life. You are taking its life away. So it has to shrivel up and go away. It just has to. All the things in your life are there because you're giving them life. That's the power that you have. Don't give the negative part any power whatsoever. Then that's not being a Pollyanna. We know that there's negativity out there. We just don't dwell on that negativity. We let other people dwell on the negativity. There's plenty of doomers and gloomers out there. Let them be just what they want to be. You be what you want. But try to wake up in the morning and remind yourself, oh, look what I had to do today. I'm a god in action here, and I have wonderful things to bring into my life and to bring into the lives of other people. And I'm going to bring goodness to myself, and I'm going to bring goodness to other people. And that's all. It's easy. It's simple. Just do it that way. All right. With that said, I hope that each and every one of you is thinking rain.
Yes. And it did.
And it rained. Now, think of it, because this week it's going to rain. And I don't know why I think this. I mean, I know it's going to rain, but I don't know what came into my consciousness that we're going to hit 6 or 7 inches. 6 or 7 inches.
It's
going to
pour.
Pardon?
It's going to pour.
Yes. So let's see it pouring. Let's see that. Because we want to keep California green.
Yes.
I do not want this turning into a desert, people. So let's start seeing green. Let's start seeing all that. Okay. No desert.
Hello.
If you want desert, go to Palm Springs. You'll have it there. We want green here. We have too many beautiful plants and too many beautiful trees here in Los Angeles. We cannot afford to lose those things. So please, think rain. Be appreciative of water. I never turn on the faucet or anything without saying, isn't this wonderful that I have water in my home, and that how wonderful that water is, what it does for this world, what it does for me. It keeps me clean, and I love the feeling of clean. So I always thank water, and I am grateful to water. Therefore, it has to be grateful back, you see. So keep a vision this week that it is going to rain, and we're going to get 6 or 7 inches of rain. God, I don't know what that will do. I never worry about these reports, what up and down or for behind or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is don't buy in to race mind that is out there working. Don't listen to the weather reports that tell you all this stuff. You know, keep to your own self. You're always creating your own life. You're always creating your own universe. It's your universe. Create it the way you want it. Doesn't have to be what your neighbor does or anything. Create it the way you want it. All right? Now, with that said, we're back to forgiveness. This is from last week. Let's go over this one quickly. And here again, one of the nice things about this is immediately, Casey said, oh, I know somebody that can use this. And if you need, we have extras you can have. This is always absolutely remarkable. Anything that I pick up and think is good, somebody else needs it right away. You see. All right, let's do this. I both give and receive the gift of forgiveness when I release a painful situation to God. This does not mean I condone what happened. I simply choose to let it go. It's all in your choosing. It's choice, 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 choice. And I think last week we talked about the Course in Miracles. And the thing about the Course in Miracles is always choose and choose again. That is that whole book. You can read from one end to the other, but what it's trying to tell you is choose and choose again. And that's what this teaching is all about. Learn to choose. Oh, I made a mistake. So what? We don't have to live in our mistakes. We can walk right out of them. When I was growing up, of course, I was taught that you had to live with your mistakes. And you had to punish yourself the rest of your life for the mistakes you made. That was that whole idea. You made your bed, now you must lie in it. You see, and in this teaching, we're telling you can remake your bed all the time. Just get up, you see. You know, pick up your bed and walk. All right. I simply choose to let it go. My past has only as much power over me as I give it. This is one of the biggest things for people to understand. Your past only has the power over you that you give it. Give up the past. I had a wonderful past. And if it wasn't wonderful, I made it wonderful. And I'm making it wonderful now. I never look at my past and say, oh, I made a mistake here, or this happened, or that happened, and this was bad. No. I love my past. I had wonderful times. Have no idea about. I can carry the weight of emotional pain forever, or I can lie it down and release it to God. Why do you want to carry baggage along with you all the time? But you have to do it for yourself. I've talked about this before, but you may not remember, so I'll repeat it. How many people remember the movie The Mission? Remember the movie The Mission? You remember. All right, remember the young man killed his brother. And for penance, he had all this armor dragging behind him on a rope. Do you remember? And they were running, they had to walk through the jungle. And they had to go up a waterfall, for Christ's sake. And here he was, trying to go up there with all this stuff. And the priest that was there said to the other one, to the head priest, tell him to let that go. He said, I can't do that. He has to do that for himself. He has to cut the cord. He has to cut the rope. And if he doesn't, then he's going to drag it through life. And that's what we do, don't we? You have the power to lay down any burden, and you have the power to cut any cord that's dragging, that you're dragging all the past with you. Not a good way to go through life, people. Just cut the cord and let it go. And you have to do it. If you're waiting for God to do it, you'll be waiting for eternity. God does not do that type of thing, people. I choose to be free from resentment, anger, and hurt. And here again, it's another choice. You have to... We could all be resentful. We could all do that. But we choose not to be resentful and hurt. Do I get resentful every once in a while? And I have to set myself down, forgive myself, and apologize to the person that I am resentful about. I have to let that go. At lunch today, somebody, or dinner tonight, somebody said they were having a difficult time letting that resentment and so forth go because of this, that, and the other thing. Well, today I had a resentment. Came, hit me, and I went, oh, I have to change that. I turned on the internet, whatever that thing is, and there was Mary Ann Williamson. Do you know her? She teaches the Course in Miracles. Tonight, she has a, whatever it is, streaming or whatever it's called. And it's on forgiveness. It's on forgiveness. And I'm going, I have to sit down and say it's all right. You see, if she can do it, I can do it. And it's not taking anything away from me. Why would I be resentful? You have to know what God can do for one, God can do for all. It's always going to be that. And we all get resentful. We just have to look at it and let it go. Not let it get to us. Resentment and hurt and anger only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. You can say, I'm angry at that person. Well, that person doesn't care if you're angry with them. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you. So you have to let it go. Okay. As I release the pain of the past, I claim the life of peace I deserve. My load lightens, my pain heals, and my heart opens. Forgiveness frees me to laugh, love, and embrace a life of joy. Now, isn't that better than resentment, to be in joy and happiness and all that? It's a choice, people. You can be happy or you can be resentful. Now, I know tons of resentful people, not in this room. But I know a place you can go and find resentful people. It's called the Land of Nod. You can go there any time. Those people are resentful. Thank you, sweet spirit, for the gift of forgiveness. For the gift of forgiveness. So just forgive yourself. Forgive all people. Forgive anything that happened to you. And start anew. Right here and right now. So why do we have this? By the way, this is usually when I come up with a theme for the month, it comes to me very easily, and my talks come to me very easily. This month, it's not coming to me easily, the idea of forgiveness. Do I practice it? Yes, I practice forgiveness. But we're such puppets of our conditioning. We were raised not to forgive, at least instantly, maybe sometimes, but usually we're not. And why is that? Because we were raised, most of us, in some brand-named church or religion. And what do brand-named churches and religion always teach? And they'll tell you that it's in the Bible, and it is in the Bible. And what we learn before we learn anything else, we learn an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but it's a Hammurabi law. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. You see? It has to do with the idea, you know, you steal something, cut off their hand. You know, we don't do that, thank God, in this country. Or we'd have a lot of handless people. It would be awful. But that is why we have such a difficult time in our culture to forgive because we were taught as children an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Then after we learn that, we go to church and they try to get that. But it's very hard to get it out of your consciousness. Once you learn that as a child, you have to work on it. And then we're completely surrounded by the news media that's always out to get somebody, thinks that's wonderful. I think 24 hours a day, you can turn on the television and you find what? Law and order. Law and order. And all they want to do is punish, 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 punish. And they get a glee in their eye when they can, I'm going to give him 10 years, or, you know, I'm giving him 20 years. We have to punish. You see? We're not here to punish people. Now, I don't know what the solution to that is, of our criminal laws and so forth, and the courts and so forth, have nothing to do with spirituality, people. They have to do with punishment. They have to do with the whole idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We want to raise above that somehow, where we can see things differently. And we can learn to see things differently. Or, as we like to say in this teaching, we see things rightly. We see things rightly. But this thing of forgiving, the only people that I know that are proficient in forgiving are the Amish. They forgive instantly. Do you remember when all those little girls got killed in that church or in that school? That evening they went to the wife of the guy who killed them and prayed with her and said, you know, I don't know what they said, I wasn't there. I'm sorry or whatever. But they immediately forgave. They immediately forgave those people or that man. Now that's true Christianity. That's what the Christians are all about. But if you'd ask a Christian about forgiving, the Christians I know are very slow at forgiving, very fast at punishing. You say, we don't want to be fast at punishing. We don't know how to dole out punishment. I think it's so ridiculous. Except that man on Law and Order, he loves, you know, I'm going to get them. And his whole thing is, his father was a mean man, remember? He drank and was mean, so now he's making up for it. I don't know how he's making up for it. He's just as mean as his father. You know, when you think about those things, people say, I'm turning into my mother, I'm turning into my father. Well, if you continue to do those things, you're going to turn into the people that you came from. And do you want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. I am so delighted that I left the land of Nod, you know. I escaped, you see. And I can now see things differently. When you're living in it, in the land of Nod, you can't see anything but that. The whole thing is just there for you. But the Amish are able, and I think the Quakers do the same thing, people. They're very quick to forgive. To forgive. I think it was last week, I grew up in a home where my mother would say, I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. Well, that didn't make much sense, did it? It didn't help you at all. You have to forgive, and you have to forget what's going on. You're holding that. The ego likes to hold all that. It likes to tell you that you're right, oh, yes, those people need punished. Oh, yes, this, that, and the other thing. We don't need punishment. What do we need? When people do all those crazy things, what is it that they need? They need love, people. They need love. And that's what we want to love everybody. And I think if we continue to love people and love people and love people, the whole thing will change. We will not have prisons filled with people. Those people that are in prison need love. They have never been taught that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, or that they matter. They do not know that. So we punish them. Why would we punish somebody because they're ignorant about the world or about how things work? We don't have the right to do that, you see. We don't have the right to do that. And I said last week, and I'll say it again, this thing called God cannot forgive you. God is not in the forgiving business. God is in the loving business. God cannot forgive you because God has never condemned you. God has never condemned you. God never condemns anybody. God loves you. And that's it. He loves, 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 or it loves, 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 loves. That's all this thing that we call God does. So we must learn what? To love. And we must start with ourselves, you see. I also heard somebody this evening say, I can't forgive myself. You have to forgive yourself. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, you're going to wait a long, long time. Just make up your mind and say, I forgive myself. You have that power. You have that power when you realize that you're creating everything. You're the one that's doing it. You're creating everything in your life. And you can choose to create differently. You can choose to think differently about yourself and say to yourself, I forgive myself. I've never done anything that drastic. And even if you did something that drastic, you have to forgive yourself. You didn't know. You just didn't know. So many people are punishing themselves for doing something stupid, and there's no need to do that because you're not that same person. I'm not the child I used to be. I'm not the teenager I used to be. And if I made mistakes back then, it was because my mind wasn't completely there. My knowledge wasn't completely there. As I learned more about myself, more about the way my mind works, I was able to forgive myself. You see, you're not the same person you were. You're not the same person you were this morning. You've learned something today that has changed you. You see? So you have to keep going with that and forgetting all that. Because if you had the knowledge you have today, you wouldn't have done what you did. You see? So you have to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for not having the knowledge at the time. See, it's so easy for people to look back on their lives and say, oh, if I'd have done this, this, and this, things would have been better. But you didn't. You know, that reminds me of that. I'll think of it in a minute. Do you remember Baby Jane? But you didn't, Blanche. So you have to forgive yourself, people. And only you can do that. See? All these things in life are wonderful once you understand them. And it doesn't require that much intelligence to understand this whole thing. See? You don't have to be a wizard to understand this. It's your mind causing everything. Your mind. Nobody else's mind. You see?
When you say see things differently, when you say hold the vision or see the world and anything that's having trouble, see it doing well, you know what I mean? There's great power in...
You have to hold a vision. Yes, you have to hold a vision. And you have to know that this is a wonderful life, that this is a wonderful planet that we live on, that the universe is absolutely wonderful and for you. You have to know all those things. And then life becomes a wonderful, wonderful game to be played, you see? And we can all learn to play the game of life. And that's what we're trying to do in this teaching. We're trying to lift your consciousness to a higher level. How many people remember in the Bible when it says, in my Father's house there are many rooms? That means there are many states of consciousness. Many states of consciousness. And we can take that consciousness that we have today and stretch it. And stretch it. And stretch it. Till we're able to do and see and be what we want in life. But we have to do it. We have to do it. So many people I know are running around treating. Drives me nuts. But when you're doing all the treating, you have to move your feet. Remember, treat and move your feet. You have to do something. You just don't do a treatment and then let it go. Once you do a treatment, you must live at the level of that treatment. You must live at the level of that treatment. You cannot sit and say, I am prosperous, I am whatever, this, that, and the other thing, and then do nothing about it. You're not living at the level of the demonstration. You must first look at the level of the demonstration. The demonstration will always come to you. But people think it's mystical and magical and it's going to drop out of the sky. It's not. It's going to drop into your mind the correct idea to take you where you want to go. That's all this is. It's no hokey pokey and all that kind of stuff. Ernest Holmes said, this is not a get rich quick. I don't know if you use the word scheme. I'll get rich quick teaching. Because so many people got into metaphysics that, oh, I'll be wealthy, I'll be this, I'll be that. You can be wealthy with it. But it's not a get-rich-quick thing, because you have to do the work, you have to do the movement, you have to live at that level of demonstration. You see? Once you make that, I am wealthy, I am healthy, then you have to do something. You can't say, I'm healthy, and then go drink a gallon of bourbon and think that your treatment worked. Didn't work that way, did it? No, you can't do that to yourself. See, with this teaching, everything in this teaching, you must use wisdom. You must use wisdom, and so many people don't use wisdom. See, they treat for health, and then they go do something like drink a gallon of bourbon or whatever they're doing, which I have nothing against drinking. I used to drink myself. Gave it up, and I'm so delighted I gave it up. You know, I'll tell you, if you're one of a prosperity consciousness and all, give up drinking and see how much money you have left. You know, at the price of a drink today out someplace, $10 for a glass of wine, or I've seen in some restaurants $15 for a glass of wine, and it comes this much in the glass. Give it up. And now, that's prosperity. You see, that's living at the level of your demonstration.
So you're talking about being treated, for example, for prosperity. But I'm trying to think in my mind, how do you live it? What specifically, what is it you're supposed to do to live at that level? Not buy wine, or.
Well, no. Well, that was just one thing.
I know
thing.
It was, but I'm just trying
but you,
to
well,
understand better what you mean. Exactly.
You dress well. Don't you have a jewel wand tonight around your neck?
I see.
Isn't that showing prosperity and abundance? Isn't that living at your level of demonstration? If you came in here in rags, I would say she didn't get it. She didn't get it. You see, just little subtle things. But the main thing is watching what your mind says to you. Your mind, when I say you're a wealthy woman, your mind says no. So what can you do about that? You have to wake up every morning and say that you're rich till you learn that you are a rich woman. You see that?
Belief in action.
Yes. But she lives, you know, you have said that to yourself for so many years that you believe it. You see. Doesn't matter how long you thought a thought, it doesn't make it real. Thoughts are only thoughts, people. So, wake up in the morning, know that you're a goddess. What does a goddess have? Well, probably jewels. Look through you. Your jewels and so forth. Didn't you just recently get gold given to you? There. So you're doing all right. You must recognize that. And you're not recognizing it. You see? You're doing all right. Recognize what you have. Be grateful for what you have. And when you do a treatment, know that you have to live at that demonstration. You see? You must live at the level of that demonstration. Now figure out how to do that. Each person will do it differently. Each person will do it differently. But back to forgiveness. Learn to forgive and learn to forgive instantly. You know we're not going to be here all the time on this plane of action. So not to forgive yourself now, when are you going to forgive yourself if you don't? You think in the next realm you're going to forgive yourself? No, you're not going to forgive yourself. You see? Many people think that death improves them. Death doesn't improve you. Nor does it improve your consciousness at all. Now you take with you your consciousness. You have to build it here. And you have to keep building that consciousness. Which brings me to this. Does anyone know what Betty Davis said when Joan Crawford died? Doesn't mean she's changed. I love that one. And it doesn't. Death doesn't improve you, and it doesn't change you. You remain, and you'll keep going, and your consciousness will grow. But try to look at your consciousness now, or this moment, what you're doing with it, instead of waiting. So many people are waiting for something grand to happen, or for somebody to walk up and say, you're forgiven. No one is going to do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. And you have to know that it's all right. We were never taught that it was all right to forgive ourselves. We are always looking for the approval of other people, and we're always looking for an authority figure to say, oh, it's okay. Now, I have, over the years, come to the realization that most of the authorities are out there have no idea what they're saying. Most of them have no idea what they're saying. So why would you want to wait for them to tell you? You are a center of God power. You are a center of God's mind. You have everything in you. Everything is available to you. Use that. And the power of forgiveness is there for you. The power of forgiveness. So why anyone wants to wait around for that is beyond me. And I know people in my own life who have worried about something that they did 30 years ago, and they still are not able to forgive themselves for it. I know one incident of a lady who had to get married. We used that term all those many years ago. They had to get married. She was never able to forgive herself. She had a good husband, a good life, and her son, but she was never able to forgive herself. She said, I did something wrong. She didn't do anything wrong. In this day and age, wouldn't mean a thing, would it? Doesn't mean a thing now. But back 30 years or 40 years ago, oh my God, you know, we were wearing an A.
Sin.
And we're not sinful people. And those things happen. It's just part of life. And we're starting to see that, and we're starting to give up all of those old things. But for somebody, and I'm sure back then all those people that had to get married felt some type of sin that they had done something against this thing that we call God, you see. Many people, you know, I don't know today, but I know a couple of years ago, many people still thought that God was on the headboard at night, watching, so they didn't have sex. I'll tell you a cute story about a Baptist couple. They had it was on Briar Cliff. This was in Georgia. A big mansion. I'll think of their names. Anyway, they were selling that place. So I went to look at it. And in their bedroom, they had a closet door facing the bed. And on that closet door was an inlaid mirror. Now guess what else was on that door?
Crucifix.
A blind to pull down over the mirror.
When they had sex.
This is absolutely true. I almost fainted, you know. And they were Baptists. You see.
Right.
Do you people know why Baptists don't have sex standing up?
Don't what?
Don't have sex standing up. Baptist. Because it may lead to dancing.
It may lead to what?
Dancing. It may lead to dancing. Baptists don't dance. I mean, they didn't back then. That was, you know, simple. Oh, very strange. But that, yeah, that's one of the things that may be. But that was an absolutely true story, and I still remember that.
Wow.
Line coming down. But they were good Christians, you say. They were good Christians. But give up the idea up that God is watching you. God is not watching you. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you think that you are the wind beneath my wings. Not so. You are your own wings. You are your own wind. It is not that, you know. So, as much as I love Bette Midler, that is not. And I like that song.
But there is a sense that all of this, the God aspect of this love, is holding us.
You know, well, you can have
them. Is holding us. The universe is holding
but
us.
But not watching you.
No, but I'm saying there's.
Well, there is something.
You know what I mean? There's a space in between that is supporting us with all these things in this love journey.
Right.
You know,
but most of the stuff is, you know, you're conditioned, and it, you know, like the Baptist pulling the thing down and all that. They were taught that. And they thought that was absolutely real because that was their religion. Now, I don't know, but I do know, the Southern Baptist Church, you know, every year votes to see what they're going to do with women.
What?
See what? Well, because women are the sinners. You caused the whole thing in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, yeah, the bird.
The same. Yeah. So, what?
They come together and discuss what they're going to do with women?
The women, if they're going to let them be in the ministry, if they're going to whatever, all that. And they always vote no, keep them down. Now, why is that so ridiculous? Because if you go to a Baptist church, it's loaded with women. The women are the ones that are putting the money in the collection plate. It's not the men. But the men vote them down every damn time, you see.
Women are the majority of any church.
Yes, the majority of any church. So I always thought that was kind of dumb of the Baptists. But there are thousands of Baptists out there, you know. I went into a Baptist church. And it was a Peachtree Baptist Church, I remember, and I went in the church office, and they had a world map there of all the countries that they were going to take over. And, of course, one of them was Africa. They, you know, they had to get those black people saved, you know. Why did they want to mess with that kind of stuff? Leave it unknown. But anyway, that's a completely different
spreading the word.
But here again, when I say all these things, I forgive myself for saying them, and I certainly forgive the Baptists. I forgive almost, you know, any of the people. You just have to forgive everything that's going on in your life. You can't hold anything against people, you see. My father used to say, it was not the apple on the tree that caused the whole thing. It was the pear on the ground. That's true. We have to forgive all that. We have to get over all that. So let's go back a moment to that idea. And we all know the idea of the Hammurabi law. And you will have people come to you and say, but it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. You'd be surprised how much stuff's in the Bible that has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. so much of it is from Babylon. You know, it's Babylonian myths. People don't know that. They think, oh, well, if it's in the Bible. Of course, how many people have heard at least the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses? Moses didn't write people. He couldn't write, he couldn't spell. Remember, they had scribes back then. It was only the scribe who knew how to write and put things down. So it's impossible that Moses wrote anything, you see. And here again, I'm not putting the Bible down. The Bible is written on many, many different levels. And you must look at it as that. But if you're reading the Bible, you have to read it from the idea, this is my life. It's your life, the Bible's telling you. All those things that are in the Bible, Jonah and the whale, all are metaphysical stories. You know, do you think somebody really was swallowed by a whale and floated around down there? And I heard somebody recently say that on television. Well, it's a big stomach. they could have floated around in the stomach. Yeah. Who makes this crap up?
To ride
at
Disneyland.
Yes.
It's got to be true.
Well, that they probably, if there was, what was the Tammy Baker and all them that had those religious parks or whatever, they probably had one of those. And now I'll tell you one quick thing about
Bible Land.
Bible Land. Also, yeah, it was called Bible Land. They probably had a Jonah and the whale ride. Yes, let the whale swallow you and jerk you around a while. All right. When I was in Jerusalem, I was on the River Jordan, and they were doing baptisms. The same baptisms that they were doing when John the Baptist was doing it. Now, for $2, I think it was, you could rent a white outfit. And they had hundreds of people in white outfits in a line, like an amusement park, and then they dunk them in the water and bring them up. Dunk them in the water.
Assembly line.
Yeah, it was an assembly line, absolutely. Now, if that helps you to think, you know, baptism and all is good, then so be it.
Well, it is water and it is a cleansing.
Well, it is. But they're not doing it for that purpose.
They could be.
Well, they could, but they're not. We could change that, maybe, Casey, but I don't think so. So anyway, the whole idea in life is to forgive people. And don't become a puppet of your conditioning and listen to the world. The world is always out. And when I say the world, I mean race, mind, is out for punishment. It wants somebody to be accountable. You have to pay for those things. And didn't we grow up, you have to pay for your sins?
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with that idea. We had first of all, give up that idea that you're a sinner or that you've sinned at all. You've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Now, forgive yourself for making those mistakes. That is the whole idea when Jesus said, go and sin no more. Go and don't make the mistake again. That's all he meant by that. Go and sin no more. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.